This is the Jump Pass. I'm your host, Ryan. And in this episode, I am going to talk about the Titans' victory over the Commanders, 3 wins in a row. I'm going to talk about where this Titans team stand after 5 games heading into this bye week. Also, I'm going to address some rumors about, you know, a couple of receivers that could possibly help out the Titans' offense. And then basically, you know, just kind of give you my thoughts about, you know, what those receivers, how can this receiving, you know, adding these receivers can help the Titans out, and my thoughts about it. I got a theory, I got a pro, I got a con on how that, you know, how these receivers can help this Titans offense. And then, of course, we'll talk about week 6, give you my prediction, not really a prediction, but my upset pick for week 6. I'm very excited about that, and I got an upset or two that I wanted to share with you guys. So, but before I begin with all those topics that I just discussed, want to talk about the Jump Pass. The Jump Pass has been such a blessing for me. It has been really a great experience being a podcaster, being a content creator. And I appreciate everybody that has listened to my show, whether you only listen to it one time or you listen to every episode. I'm very, very appreciative of being a person with a voice, to talk about Titans football, being able to give you my opinions about certain topics regarding Tennessee Titans football, or just either, you know, NFL topics in general. You know, I say all that to say that tomorrow, well, not really tomorrow, but, you know, 10/14/2022 is my 1-year anniversary of doing this show. And I'm very appreciative of, again, of everything that has been brought to me. This episode is special to me because I'm talking about it. Talking about this 1-year anniversary of mine. This podcast has been a blessing to me because of the content that I'm be able to always provide on a week to week basis. And I learned a lot. As being a podcaster, you know, coming from a network where, you know, I learned a lot, but I wanted to kind of branch out on my own and be an independent person. I learned a lot, and it's a lot of hard work and dedication to be able to consistently put out episode after episode after episode, and to have guests on my show that's part of the Titans, you know, community. Having mainstream Titan people come in and provide their insight, you know, shout out to people like, you know, like Paul Kaharsky, like Mickey Ryan, like Mike Hernan, you know, they came on my show and, you know, they didn't have to come on my show. They came on my show and they've been they blessed me with their expertise about, you know, about the Titans and everything. And, you know, I appreciate the other guests that came on my show, you know, P Shark of Let's Be Real Media, Mr. Titan, one of the people that encouraged me to do a podcast. You know, we talked to each other and, you know, gave me, you know, some advice on, you know, what to do and how to be yourself and just do your thing. You know, he had faith in me, and that does mean a lot. You know, Power Hour, being able to be on his show and be able to, you know, talk football with him. He's been on my show, being able to talk football, talk Tennessee Titan football, Titans Rossi. You know, and so many Tennessee Titans Weekly. You know, I've had so many inspirations still, you know, and that's the thing. I never stop learning. And that's the thing about life. You never stop learning in life. You can get as old as possible, and you can still, as long as you are able to move your, you know, your body, be able to talk, be able to, you know, walk and do the things that you have done on a day-to-day basis, you can learn something from anybody. You know, listening to Tennessee Titans Weekly, I've never been on their show. They've never been on my show. But I love those guys. Those guys know what they're talking about. Shout out to Jock. Shout out to Hulk. Those guys definitely be doing their thing. And I've learned a lot from their show as well that I can take to my show and kind of remix it to my liking. It's just, you know, learning. You can learn from anybody. I learned from when P-Shark had his Let's Tighten Up podcast. I learned from his stuff. I learned from Mr. Titan. I learned from Titan Anderson, you know, a guy that, you know, we don't really have a relationship, but I've learned some things about him and how he conducts his podcast that I can use for my podcast. You know what I'm saying? So it's just about, you know, iron sharpening iron. And that's why I always support people. You know, I don't ask for the support, you know, because I always felt like, to me, if you're going to support me, if you're going to support what I do, you'll do it from the heart and not because I asked you to. And that's kind of what I do. I support people because it's coming from the heart. And it's not because, you know, I'm forcing myself to do this for clout or exposure or anything like that. I'm not really doing it for that. I'm doing it because I like doing it. Plain and simple. You know, when I started the Jump Pass, it's not because, oh, you know, I want to make so much money doing a podcast, or I want to meet all the players and all that. Oh, that's good and all. That's cool. And that's definitely a pro of being a podcast. You've been able to talk to certain people, get in touch with certain people, being able to have that those communications with certain people. Oh, that's good. But that was never really my goal. My goal was just to simply just say, hey, I got a podcast. I want to talk about Tennessee Titan football. And I feel like I'm a smart guy. So, you know, at the end of the day, that's kind of really the main reasons for it. But overall, I'm very excited that, you know, 10/14/2022 will be the 1 year anniversary of me doing my first episode. The crazy thing about doing my first episode is it's not on Apple. So if you find it, you know, if you're looking for my first episode, it's not actually on Apple Podcasts or Amazon or Google. It's actually on Spotify. And I don't know how I can get it from Spotify to Apple, but it's there. If you go on Spotify, it's absolutely there. So like I said, I'm very, very, very appreciative and blessed to be able to be doing this. And I think it's only going to get better from here for me. I feel like to me, I got a sponsor, working out with a sponsor for the show. Probably it's going to be the next episode before I reveal the sponsor, or maybe the episode afterward. But I'm working with a sponsor right now. Just got to get the paperwork to kind of make sense. And then, you know, I will have a sponsor. So, you know, it's I'm very excited about what this podcast is going to. And, you know, I got some big news to share to you, but it won't be until the next episode before I share it. So be on the lookout for the next episode next week, where I give out my, you know, surprise, my big news about this podcast, and I give you my explanation as to why, you know, what's going on with the podcast and why I'm doing this and why I'm doing that, things of that nature. And then we'll just go from there. So overall, like I said, I know I said a lot. That was about 10 minutes of me saying a whole bunch of, you know, a whole bunch of everything. But I just wanted to shout out to you guys, the listeners, because without you guys, there's no Jump Pass. And I'm just out here talking to myself. So I really do appreciate everybody for, you know, tuning in to the podcast and being able to, you know, listen to me, agree with some of my takes. And, you know, even some of y'all tell y'all how y'all feel about it. And I respect everybody's opinion. As long as it's respectful, as long as it's, you know, we respect each other as grownups, because we all grown, and we, you know, I respect you. As long as you respect me, I'm going to respect you automatically. So like I said, appreciate everybody for tuning in for my previous episodes, and I appreciate you for tuning in to this episode. So without further ado, let's talk about some Titans football, all right? So as I indicated at the beginning of the show, Titans did win 21-17 against the Washington Commanders. Be really, really honest. If you know me, I'm always honest about the Titans and about, you know, certain things regarding the Titans. This game was ugly. This was an ugly brand of football, especially in the beginning stages of this game. The Titans, I felt like, to me, the Titans are, you know, they're taking advantage of beating the bad teams, but not really taking advantage of beating the bad teams. I know I said the same thing, it kind of sounded like I said the same thing twice, but let me explain. So the Titans could, honestly, you can make a case that the Titans could have blowed out the Commanders, they could have blowed out the Raiders, and they could have blowed out the Colts, right? But some reason the Titans cannot maintain success. And the reason why I say that is because we'll have a two-score lead. In this case, I don't think we had a two-score lead at any point in this game, if I'm not mistaken. But we would have a two-score lead, and we would just basically hang on for dear life, and then the defense makes a big play, and then we win, right? That's kind of been the Titans' MO so far this season. We start off fast, get a two-touchdown or two-score lead, heading into halftime. Second half, we play like crap on offense. The defense is out on the field too much. And then we're just hanging on for dear life, hoping that the clock hits zero and the Titans score more than the opponent. That's kind of been what it's been for basically this entire season, minus the Bills game. All the other games, even the loss against the Giants, we were hanging on until, you know, we was bending and then we broke against the Giants. But the last three wins against the Raiders, against the Colts, and now against the Commanders, we'll have a lead at halftime, and we hanging on. Now, I will give credit where credit is due. The Titans finally did score a touchdown in the second half. We had to. once Washington scored off that touchdown, which I know a lot of people criticizing the secondary, but honestly, Roger McCreary couldn't play that no better than anybody at any corner in the National Football League. The only true criticism from Roger McCreary was he couldn't locate the football. Other than that, I mean, he was right there. You know, it was just a great play, but it was just a great throw by Carson Wentz. A great throw and a great catch. It was a one-handed catch by Damani Brown. That's really what it was. And I just, you know, to me, watching Tennessee Titans football, if you're the type of person that gets stressed out really quickly, Titans probably don't need to be your team because they're going to stress the hell out of you every single game. I done got to the point now that I've gotten older and I'm used to the Titans playing the way that they play, that I get a little bit more calm about these situations. I usually kind of just chill, and whatever happens, happens. Once David Long got that pick, I was excited, but I wasn't like, you know, if he didn't, you know, if Washington would score, I would have been upset. I would have been disappointed, but I wouldn't have been like, I'm not going to throw my TV out the window. You know what I'm saying? I'm not going to throw my PlayStation out the window. It's just going to be like a disappointing loss. And, you know, especially heading into the bye week, I did not want the Titans to be under 500 heading to the bye week. So overall, I am excited about the win. You know, the Titans, to me, the way that they're playing, they're not going to do a whole lot this season. The way that the Titans have played through the first 5 weeks of the season, it's going to be hard for them to beat the more quality teams in the National Football League. And, I mean, think about it. The three wins they got against the Commanders, Raiders, Colts, Those teams are have a combined 4 wins. All right, they're 4-10-1. You know what I'm saying? They're not. That's not going. I mean, yes, you beat the teams that are in front of you, but eventually, schedule is going to get tough. If y'all haven't seen that November schedule, there's some teams on there. They got to play on the road. They got to play on Thursday Night Football coming from, you know, off of a short week. It's going to be tough. Now, I do believe the Titans can overcome this and play better football. That's why, honestly, you know, and I'll get into the box score in a minute, but let me make this point right here. When the schedule first got started, I was not a fan of this bye week, week six. I was not a fan of the week six bye. But this week six bye couldn't came at a better time. I mean, because you're dealing with the Titans are dealing with so many injuries. The offense hasn't really been clicking. The secondary has been struggling. I mean, the second halves have been terrible. You know, the Titans have played 10 quarters of second half football and have only scored 14 points. In the touchdown that they had in the third quarter, that was the first touchdown since that was the first any kind of score in the second half for the Titans since week one. That's why I can't explain to you why they're 3-2. I really don't know why they're 3-2. But they are 3-2. You know, you are Bill Parcells. One of his best quotes, my favorite quote from Bill Parcells. You know, for those who don't know Bill Parcells, he's a legendary head coach, one of the best head coaches of all time. Won a couple of Super Bowl rings for the Giants. One of the things he's always says is, "You are what your record says you are," and based off of that, the Titans are above average football team. Which is not too bad, considering that there's a lot of above-average football teams and a lot of below-average football teams right now through 5 games, and the Titans are one of them. So I would honestly, if you would have told me that the Titans are 20-plus ranked in offense and 20-plus ranked in defense through 5 games, and you say, do that, the Titans are 3-2, I think you're lying. I think that right there sounds like a team that's 1-4 or 0-5. But the 3-2, that to me shows they have a winning culture, and that's credit to Mike Vrabel. And that shows that stats all the time doesn't really tell the story. So I just wanted to make that point right quick, and let's get into the box score, okay? So let's talk about the Titans box score. Ryan Tannehill, another Ryan Tannehill-like stat line. Pretty much used to this at this point. 15-25, 181, a touchdown, 0 interception. Got sacked 5 times. 95.6 rating. QBR 17.9. It's not good stats. I mean, it's good in regards of no turnovers. Tannehill has only had one turnover in 3 games. So, well, his last 3 games, all of them wins. But it's going to be hard to win that way. It's going to be hard to beat quality opponents when your quarterback can't get you 200 yards passing. It's going to be hard when Tannehill, every 2-3 dropbacks, he is running for his life, or he's throwing a ball away, or trying not to get sacked, or he does get sacked. It's going to be hard. It's going to be hard beating teams. You're going to be playing some better defenses, all right? You're going to be playing Denver soon. Denver has a really good defense, really good defense. The Jaguar defense is really good within the division. The Texans defense has improved a lot. So it's going to be really, really difficult to win in the National Football League, in today's National Football League, when your quarterback can't even throw for 200 yards. Some of that is on Tannehill, and some of that is on the offensive line, and some of that is on philosophy too. But I've already mentioned the philosophy part of the other issue by 3 episodes ago. So if y'all want to take a look at that, my thoughts on that, go back to the Buffalo game. And I'll tell you, and that basically explains to you why the Titans have an offensive philosophy issue. But 181, like I said, it's good. It's like I said, it's good enough for a victory, but eventually Tannehill is gonna have to win the Titans a couple of ball games. And I don't know if he's gonna be able to do it. I don't even know if the Titans coaching staff is gonna allow him to do so. But we'll see as the Titans continue to play, you know, as their schedule gets a little bit tougher. And I'm not talking about October, I'm talking about November schedule. November and early December, that schedule is brutal. All right. And it's gonna be hard. Like I said, it's gonna be hard for the Titans to win games when they are throwing when you got a quarterback that can't throw 200 yards. It works now because they're playing against bad teams. Bad teams are bad for a reason. So it's gonna work against these bad teams, but eventually Tannehill is gonna have to play a little bit better. It has to be a little bit more efficient throwing the football as well. Derrick Henry was 28, 102, and 2 touchdowns. I think Henry, you know, that's 2 straight 100-yard games. He's scored a touchdown in every single football game this season. I think Derrick Henry played very well. This was a tough matchup for Henry. Washington's front, which is the strength of their team. They got Montez Sweat, who had a hell of a game against the Titans O-line. Had a hell of a game. He had Jonathan Allen. They didn't have Chase Young, which that definitely helps. But still, you know, 102 off of 28 carries. That was only 3.6 yards of carries, which is kind of below average. But he made the, you know, he had some runs there that could have worked. But, you know, holding calls and things of that nature kind of happened. But, you know, Derrick Henry just, like I said, he's starting to get a little bit more consistent, which that's going to help the Titans offense. I mean, he has to, because if he's not getting it going, his offense ain't going nowhere. That's just plain and simple. The way the offense is designed right now, he has to be the star of this offense every single game. It's not going to be a situation where Henry gets 50 yards. If Henry gets 50 yards, I'm going to assume, and I probably shouldn't assume, but I'm going to assume that the Titans are not winning this football game. So we need the Pro Bowl Derrick Henry, the All-Pro Derrick Henry, pretty much to show up every single game until they figure out what the hell to do with this passing game. Then looking at the Titans receivers, again, I'm really a whole lot of none. That's kind of been the theme this year. Westbrook Akina, he basically led the team in receiving only because he caught the longest pass of the season. This was the longest passing play of the season for the Titans, 61 yards. That pretty much set up the touchdown, the go-ahead score. That was Derrick Henry's second score. But like I said, nothing to really talk about from the receiving end. Robert Woods got 4 for 37. They have 8 targets, and I have noticed they have targeted him more in the offense, which is a good thing. That's definitely a big step because in the beginning it was 3 targets here, 4 targets here. Last couple of games, it's not double-digit targets, which that's fine, but it's been like, you know, 7 targets. I think he had like 7, 8 or 9. No, he had 9 targets against the Colts, and then he had 8 targets in this game here. So he's getting involved. Now we just got to find the connection because 4 catches off 8 targets, not a good percentage. That's, you're only catching half of your targets. Something's not right there. And then Henry getting involved in the passing game. We do need a little bit more from Henry in the passing game. 2 catches for 30 yards. I mean, it's there. Every time they call a passing play for Derrick Henry, it's getting positive yards. It's going to give you at least a first down. I mean, he had a 24-yard gain. It was that screen call. It was a 24-yard gain. It's there because defenses are not expecting Derrick Henry to catch passes out of the backfield. And if you can take advantage of that, that actually helps the running game. Because now you're at a situation of we got to focus on Derrick Henry for more than one reason. That helps your offense a lot. Helps you in the passing game as well, because now you don't have to necessarily, you know, get the receivers involved. You can get the running backs involved as well. And I think that helps. And, you know, especially it's that element of surprise, because people's, you know, when they see Dontre Hilliard out on the field, most likely probably going to be a passing play. When they see Derrick Henry out there, most likely defense is going to be like 80 or 90% of the time, it's going to be a running play. So to see, you know, kind of change it up to say, okay, Derrick Henry's there. Oh, it's not a running play. It's a passing play. Now Henry gets involved in the passing game, and then all of a sudden, that opens up the offense a little bit more. Austin Hooper, I've said it once, I'm said it again, just not getting involved. I don't know if he's not getting open. I don't know if he's not fitting the offense. I don't know if he's not blocking well. I just don't know. I mean, one target, one catch, 7 yards. I mean, Chig, who I like as well, he only had one target compared to what he did against Indy. I thought that would have been the start of something for Chig, but nothing. He's only on the stat sheet because he had a target. But otherwise, he wouldn't be on the stat sheet because he had no catches. But again, this team, for some reason, on offense, does not want to get tight ends involved. I think this would have been the easy offense to get the tight ends involved, especially when you got a guy like Henry in the backfield. I thought the tight end would have been helpful. It makes me wonder, though, like, if Delanie Walker was healthy and in this offense, I wonder if he would have been frustrated with the lack of targets. I would think so, personally, because Delanie was a bit of an outspoken receiver. I know from some rumors that him and Vrabel didn't exactly see eye to eye on a couple of occasions. I also remember Rashad Matthews getting upset. That's how he basically got let go from the Titans. But that had nothing really to do with Vrabel. That had a lot more to do with Matt LaFleur. But still, this offense should be able to thrive. The tight end should be able to thrive in this offense. It's kind of frustrating, to be honest. Washington on the offensive side, Carson Wentz, 359. This secondary is going to make every quarterback look like Patrick Mahomes. Just a full disclosure, okay? The secondary is young, they're inexperienced, and they're struggling big time. Fulton has been pretty well. He's done pretty well at times, but he can't stay healthy. He can't finish the whole game for whatever reason. I'm hoping that he can get healthy during his bye week, because he's dealing with a hamstring issue. And I don't know about y'all, but I've had a hamstring issue before, not from, you know, playing athletic football or anything like that, but I've had hamstring issues before. Those are nagging. All right. It's kind of like a season ending issue. That's going to be a season issue throughout the entire season. But I'm hoping that Fulton can have some kind of relief during the bye week where he's not doing a whole lot, kind of let that hamstring heal a little bit. Because, like I said, they very nagging injuries. Hamstring is so nagging. You know, that's going to last you all year long, pretty much. And you can just only hope and pray that you know, Fulton can be healthy and be able to be our number one corner. But because the rest of these corners, they're struggling. Farley, I don't know. I think we're heading towards that bust level with Farley. We're heading towards that, but I don't want to call it yet. I still want to give it a little bit more time, because cornerback is a really hard position to make an immediate impact coming from the draft. And it's easy for me to say that, you know, when you got other guys on other teams, like a Sauce Gardner, like a Derek Stingley, who out there performing their ass off right now, and they are rookies as well. You know, Farley's not a rookie, but this basically is his rookie season. So it's hard for me to take up for Farley when you see those other young guys who got drafted this year and they already making a million impact. Sauce Gardner already making a million impact with the Jets. Stingley is already making a million impact for the Houston Texans. That kid Jones, that cornerback for the Patriots, he's making an impact as a corner for the Patriots. So it's hard for me to be on Farley's corner, but we got to give it some time, unfortunately. We got to give it a little bit more time. Washington couldn't run on the Titans, which that's encouraging because the Titans were struggling the first few games, stopping the run. Last two games, Taylor only had 42 yards. Washington as a team only had 43 yards rushing. Titans did a really good job stopping the run. Receiving, honestly, other than Damani Brown's two catches that end up being 100 yards, they kind of, for the most part, did a decent job. I mean, Terry McLaurin only had five catches for 76 yards. That wasn't terrible. Curtis Samuel had six for 62. They got the running backs involved a lot in the passing game. I mean, McKissick had 37 yards on five receptions. Antonio Gibson, three receptions for 33 yards. So they got the running backs involved a whole lot. So at the end of the day, I don't think the receivers made a big impact. It's just those two long touchdown catches from Damani Brown. That was the big ones. And that's been really the thing that's been hurting the Titans defense. It's the big plays, the 40-plus yard explosive plays. Those are hurting the Titans in the secondary. Other than that, though, the secondary hasn't been too terrible. But when you're giving up big explosive plays, it's going to stand out the most. And unfortunately, that's what's hurting the Titans defense right now. Overall, like I said, the Titans defense, I thought they played pretty well. Of course, they made the game when they played David Long. David Long, to me, was the best player on the field on both sides of the football. His energy, his impact, 12 tackles. He made, he got the interception, the game winning or the game sealing interception. Jeffrey Simmons had a great game, had a sack and a half. Danico Autry had a great game. I thought Tierre Tart had a really good game. And Tierre Tart is starting to emerge as a big piece of this Titans defense. I thought what he did last year was pretty solid in spot duty. He's actually improved a lot this season. And he's bringing a lot of depth to that front. And that's why I said the Tennessee Titans front is the strength of this team. And he's done such a great job of just being that extra pass rusher to kind of relieve, maybe Danico Autry or maybe Jeffrey Simmons, or you can have all three of them on there. So Tierre Tart has done a really, really good job of, last couple of games of just being available, making big plays, getting interceptions, being out on coverage. He's doing better than the corners. He's doing better than our secondary. So shout out to Tart. Shout out to Simmons too. They were both out there on coverage that last drive. And they confused Carson Wentz and company. So great job on the defensive front. The secondary, like I said, not much. I did think Fulton did a decent job. I thought McCreary did a decent job too, honestly. That touchdown pass, it's not really on him. Maybe he could locate the ball better, but that was Carson Wentz's best throw of the game. So at the end of the day, sometimes you just have to, tip your hat off to the offense. So, that's just offense being good defense at that point. But overall, like I said, the punting game, Ryan Stonehouse had a great punting game. I like Ryan Stonehouse, but I'm tired of looking at Ryan Stonehouse. We need to, the Titans offense needs to be better. But like I said, a win is a win. I'm very happy with the win, right? And the Titans are doing – I was trying to figure out, how are the Titans winning these games the way that they're playing? Number one, like I said, they're playing against bad teams. So they're beating the bad teams, which is something that, we as a fan base have been critical of for quite some time, right? You know, this team can't beat bad. You know, they can't beat bad teams, but they're really good against the good teams. But they're now starting to beat the bad teams. So we're starting to get that level of consistency. It's just still not at the way that we want it in regards of finishing off opponents. And, you know, when we have opportunities to take over the game and leave it without any doubt, the Titans have not yet grasped that concept yet. But overall, like I said, Titans are beating the bad teams. So we got to give them credit where credit is due. And then another thing, too, also is they're not turning the football over. You know my rule number one, control the controllables. Control the controllables. Last three games, they have one turnover. You can win a lot of games that way. You can win a lot of games by not turning the football over. And you getting the opposing team off the field on offense on third down. Titans have number one third down defense in the league, and Washington was 1 of 11 on third down. Despite how bad the offense was, despite how bad and inconsistent the offense has been this season so far, I mean, the defense has done a really good job of just kind of maintaining and staying on the field and, you know, maintaining and being able to get off the field on third down is very important. So being the number one third down defense in the National Football League is very important. That's a very important stat. That means you are, when it's third down, they're getting their ass off the field because you're not converting on third down against their team. So, like I said, defense is doing their job, and they are, to me, they're the main reason why they're 3-2. The defense is the main reason the Titans are 3-2. So, hopefully this bye week will help the offense to be a little bit more consistent and they can put some more points on the board, because scoring 20 in the low 20s, that's not going to last too long. I'm just letting you know that. I'm not being negative, just being honest. Scoring 21 points in the National Football League against good teams ain't going to cut it. You got to put some more points on the board. So hopefully the Titans can regroup on offense, regroup on the passing defense, get some things going. Hopefully the old line can be better. All that. Hopefully. We'll see. But, you know, those are my thoughts of the Titans and Commanders game. Let me know, you know, if you got any doubts. You know, is my taste good? Is it something that I missed out on? Just, you know, y'all let me know. Let me know on the Twitter page. Let me know on the Twitter page. All right, so I want to real quick, and I'm not going to spend too much time on it, but I want to real quick address the couple of wide receiver rumors. Obviously, if you have not known yet, Matt Rhule of the Carolina Panthers is fired. So there's a possibility that the Panthers might go on a fire sale and get rid of some of their players. Okay. Christian McCaffrey, heard a little bit of rumors about him. I don't think he's going anywhere. Not with that contract that he has. I don't think he's going anywhere. But have heard of the receivers, Robbie Anderson and DJ Moore in particular, that could be possibly moving. The Titans do have some interest in DJ Moore, or at least there is some alleged talks for both DJ Moore and Robbie Anderson. I know a lot of people are not a fan of Robbie Anderson. I like Robbie Anderson. I think he can be a quality player on the offense. I think DJ Moore can be a quality player. I know I put out a tweet the other day kind of explaining why I think DJ Moore would be a good spot, could be a good, you know, addition to the team. But there is some concerns I have. I do have some concerns. My concerns is this offense has not gotten the players that they got now. I think Woods is a Pro Bowler. Austin Hooper is a Pro Bowler. They're not getting enough targets. Now, Woods, the last couple of games, yes. But Austin Hooper, not getting involved. Chidd, not getting involved. I know somebody said that Austin Hooper sucks. And they say they like Chidd better. Apparently, the Titans don't. Apparently, the Titans don't like either one of them tight ends. So it's hard for me to say that he sucks. You said Chig better. Titans said, I don't like neither one of them based off the stat. I mean, Robert Woods is your leading receiver, and his numbers are not that. His numbers are not great. Trust me, numbers are not great. You can look at it for yourself, but them numbers are not great. Those numbers don't scream number one receiver. Those numbers don't scream, oh yeah, he's gonna be a Pro Bowl wide receiver for the AFC. Don't. And my concern is with this philosophy, where Ryan Tannehill, and I looked at the stats and I did my numbers. Ryan Tannehill averages 25 passing attempts a game. It's not a lot. Not a lot of passing attempts. Especially when you got a guy like Ryan Tannehill who's only completing 65% of his passes. So for every 25 passing attempts, he's only completing about a good 15 to 16 of them. It's targets are hard to come by in this offense. So adding a weapon is good in theory. But does it make sense? Is that the number one thing we need to address? How about addressing the O-line that can't block, that can't pass block? Aaron Brewer, if he's going against a guy that's bigger than him, he's getting beat off the line. And Ryan Tannehill has no shot of getting the ball to the receivers. Like, no shot at times. Ben Jones, you know, he's been okay. Nicholas Petit-Fierre arguably is the best offensive line we have. He's the best offensive lineman we got. And that's a rookie. No Taylor Lewan. Dennis Daly is just horrible to me. I think he's horrible. He's been decent at times, but overall he has not been good. And honestly, I didn't have any expectations of him being good in the first place. I mean, he's a bagger for a reason. You are a bagger for a reason. So this offensive line is bad. That's who John Robinson needs to find. He needs to find a good quality starting level tackle or guard. Not really necessarily receiver. I mean, he could get both, but I don't think the cap is not going to allow John Robinson to be that creative. I mean, who knows? But to me, offensive line is the focus. To me, in my opinion, it should be the focus. It should be the number one focus. Got to protect Ryan Tannehill, because if Ryan Tannehill, he is hurt, it is over. This season is done for. And I love the potential of Malik Willis. But that's going to be asking. I don't think Malik Willis is ready to play this season. Based off of what I've seen in the preseason, based off of what I've seen in garbage time against the Bills, he is not ready yet. But he's definitely the future. But he's not the present right now, though. But Ryan Tannehill gets hurt, we might as well be going on these. We might well be watching college football on Saturday and see who the Titans can possibly get on their first round draft pick, because season's gonna be pretty much done. And it's amazing that Ryan Tannehill has not gotten hurt as many hits he has taken the last couple of years. So definitely grateful for that. Definitely grateful for that. But I think the Titans' focus should be on the offensive line. Getting Odell Beckham would be great. That's another rumor that I've been hearing. Getting Odell Beckham would be great. Getting DJ Moore would be great. How is this Titans team going to utilize those players if they are wearing a Titans uniform in this run-first offense? That's all I'm saying. So let me know your thoughts on that. But just want to let you, that was my thought process on that, because like I said, I would love to have DJ Moore on the team. I think he's a solid receiver. Of course, Odell Beckham, when healthy, is one of the top receivers in the game. But it's gonna be hard for me to say they're gonna immediately come in and provide an impact when the Titans cannot even provide an impact for their current receiving core. And it could be because they can't get open. That could be possibly true. But I can't, that's not the only issue, though. That's not the only issue. If you are ignoring the offensive line issues, then you're going to continue having the same struggles regardless who your receiving core is. I think you should address the offensive line first before thinking about adding some skilled players to this Titans offense. So that's my thoughts on that. All right, y'all. So talked about the Titans bye week, what they stand at 3-2. Talked about the game and everything. Talk about Odell Beckham and DJ Moore rumors. All right, let's fast forward to week 6. You already know, the Titans have a bye week. So I don't have a game to talk about. I will talk about their week 7 matchup next week. But before I end the show, of course, I like to talk about upsets, what games I like. I got a couple of them for you. One is in the division, actually. The Jaguars against the Colts. I like the Jaguars to sweep the Colts. The Jaguars have not swept the Colts since 2017, which, oddly enough, that is the last time the Jaguars beat Indy at Indy. But I think that the Jaguars, they've been playing some good football. They did not have a good showing against Houston, though. That was kind of a shocker a little bit. I thought the Jaguars would be able to win that game. But, Texas has been dominating that matchup. I did not know they have won like 8 games in a row against the Jaguars. I did not know that. But I do think that the Jaguars will beat the Indianapolis Colts. It's not much of an upset. But consider the fact that the Jaguars haven't swept the Colts in 5 years, it will be an upset if the Jaguars will go into Indy and beat Matt Ryan for a second time. So I think that's going to be the upset. Another upset is I'm looking at this matchup right here between the Baltimore Ravens and the New York Giants. The Giants are 4-1, but everybody keeps saying they're the worst 4-1 team in football. And I kind of sort of agree with it. I'm not sure. It's kind of like the Titans. I'm not sure how they're winning football games, except the fact that Saquon Barkley is back to being the Saquon Barkley of old, and Daniel Jones is not making costly mistakes. So shout out to Brian Daboll for basically fixing those issues, getting Saquon Barkley back to playing the kind of football that he was playing before he started getting hurt. But I like this Giants team against this Baltimore Ravens team. I like the Giants beating the Baltimore Ravens. I know the Giants are 4-1, Baltimore is 3-2, but Baltimore, they really kind of are the favorite to win this game. They're the road favorites. On paper, Baltimore is the better team. But the two reasons why I think the Giants will beat the Ravens is because, one, I think Saquon Barkley is going to have a really good showing against this Ravens defense. And number two, the most important thing is the Giants defensive coordinator is Wayne Martindale, who used to be the Baltimore Ravens defensive coordinator. And if anybody knows how to stop this offense or have an idea how to stop this offense, it will probably be him. He had to see this offense pretty much every day, every practice. So I think, to me, the Giants beat the Ravens. I think that's going to be a big, huge upset. And the Giants will be 5-1, which is it wasn't on my bingo card for them to be 5-1. I'm pretty sure for a Giants fan, I don't think the Giants fans predicted through 6 games they would be 5-1. So it's definitely a shocker there. And, of course, I also picked the Jaguars to beat the Colts and to sweep the Colts for the first time in 5 years. All right, y'all. So thanks for tuning in to the Jump Pass that would conclude this episode. Be on the lookout for the next week episode. Like I said, I got some big news to share next week. So please stay tuned and please be on the lookout for future episodes coming in. And I'm your host, Ryan. Do a couple of things for me. Stay safe. Please stay safe. World is a dangerous place, so please stay safe, okay? So peace, love, and do one thing for me. Tighten up. Y'all have a great day.